All right, gigantic hour. Thanks for being out there. We appreciate it. We'll let you know they're coming up at 2:30 today as Radio Tinder, then 2:45 as Game of Games. Then we will get you out to Lakers pregame. In the meantime, it is fast track time. John, one side of the coin is, one side of the coin is the Angels get booed again tonight, or today.
Or the Astros.
The Astros. Other side of the coin, the fans, give them some slack. What do you say?
They're playing right now in a day game, and they're already being booed. So the answer is heads.
All right.
Heads it is. John wins.
All right. I will defer, Mace. No advantage comes with that.
All right. 90 years ago Friday, legendary Notre Dame head coach Newt Rockne died in a plane crash. When they found his body, he had his rosary beads with him. Now, Darren Revelle tweeted about this Friday. He had a picture of these old rosary beads, and he said, quote, 90 years ago today, Notre Dame football coach Newt Rockne was tragically killed in a plane crash. He was found clutching his rosary beads and cross. There's that picture. And then the current bid is now $55,092. John, is that whole thing, the idea of Newt Rockne's rosary beads he was holding in a plane crash, is that all just too creepy?
No. I think that people tend to pray when they're in crisis, and he was obviously in crisis. A lot of people, I'm not going to make fun of anybody's religion.
No, I'm not making, I just think, here's this guy clutching his rosary beads. Now they're being sold at auction for $55,000.
Right. I would never,
in bad taste.
I would never pay for them. You know, I don't, those rosary beads don't have any meaning to me, certainly not. But as you said, your grandfather was like a diehard Notre Dame guy, and he would probably want those. They would have meaning to him.
Yeah, they would. You're right. You're right.
So it's, you know, I have no problem.
I find the whole thing to be kind of morbid.
Yeah, it kind of is.
I guess it is.
Yeah. Here's what Newt died with. It's like,
Although I would love to have a piece of the cross. Wouldn't that be kind of cool that Jesus died on?
A piece of Jesus's cross?
Wouldn't that be cool if somebody had saved that and you could get a piece of it? Oh, man.
Yeah, memorabilia to me, I've never been a big memorabilia guy. Like, Michael, if somebody told you they could get you a piece of the Forum where you won the championships in the 80s, would you pay a lot of money for it?
Yeah, depending how big the piece is, I'd love to have that in my house as a souvenir, of course.
Michael, have you ever, you know the Shroud of Turin, right?
Yeah.
I got to go to the Shroud of Turin when I was at the Olympics in Torino, Italy, and it is awesome to behold. Whether or not that is
the image
Jesus
of Christ.
The Christ or not, I'm not sure, but it is haunting.
You can actually see like face and everything on it?
Oh, yeah. You can absolutely see face. You can see hair. You can see – I mean, it's a perfect representation
of
someone who you would imagine looks like Jesus.
Wow. That can't be real, huh?
I don't know. I don't know.
That's just too odd.
All right, Ireland, it's to you.
Okay, guys, it's being reported that North Carolina has hired Hubert Davis, a former Tar Heel player, for the last 10 years an assistant to Roy Williams, as their new head coach. Davis played for Dean Smith at North Carolina from 88 to 92 before being a first-round NBA draft pick for the Knicks. He spent 12 seasons in the NBA with 6 different organizations. Davis also spent time as a college basketball analyst for ESPN. But here's the thing. Davis has never been a head coach at any level. I always say there are certain places that aren't a starter school. North Carolina seems to be one of those places. Is North Carolina making a mistake hiring somebody with zero head coaching experience?
Absolutely. They could have virtually anybody in the country. They could pick their coach. And they're choosing instead somebody who's got no experience, who might have it, could be very talented, could wind up being a great coach, but has no experience doing it. I think it's a mistake on the part of Carolina.
Do you have a short memory, Mace?
I have a short memory.
Are the weeds already fried all your brain cells?
I still have several brain cells left after last night.
It just happened a few hours ago, Mace. Have you forgotten about a guy named Juwan Howard?
Oh, I know. No, look, but do you think the risk is higher or lower?
What about Steve Kerr? Come on. Of course he can do a good job.
You can make a case. You know, it's our old saying, you can spin numbers to tell any story you want. I could give you a list of people that did it, but I kind of, Michael, lean towards Mason's side on this. North Carolina is one of the top 5 college basketball jobs in the country.
So you wouldn't hire Juwan Howard. Look at the job he just did. Man, listen, you guys got to start getting with the 21st century.
It worked. Hubert Davis. Remember, Juwan Howard was coaching in the NBA.
Well, Hubert Davis was on the bench as an assistant.
He was. Yeah, he wasn't Juwan.
Yeah, but Juwan had never been
head coaching jobs.
No,
yeah, but Juwan had never been a head.
No,
coach.
And neither has Patrick Ewing. And he's done a fine job at Georgetown. Come on, guys,
but
wake
Michael,
up.
Most of the time it doesn't work. Chris Mullin, it didn't work. Kevin Ollie, he
how
won
did Pat
a title.
Riley work out? Okay, came right out of the booth. He did all right, didn't he? Come on,
right?
Hubert Davis is a smart guy. Highly respected. He could walk into anybody's living room and anybody would respect
not
him.
Not questioning that, but if you think he's a sure thing, you're crazy.
But, Michael, if Coach K walks in and then right behind him Hubert Davis walks in, isn't that a mismatch?
If Coach
going
K
after
and
the
Hubert
same kids.
And Carolina? I mean, I don't know, because Hubert Davis has a great reputation. He won at Carolina. He's a
By
legend
By the way, Michael,
there.
Do you know who Hubert Davis's uncle is?
Gray Davis?
No.
No, Gray Davis.
No, you played against him, I think. Walter Davis,
oh,
the Greyhound.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Wow.
Until I did. I was researching for this question.
No,
yeah,
this
Walter
is a great
Davis.
Hire. He's what? He's in his early 40s. He's young. He can connect with kids today. This is a great hire.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd
Mace,
hired Billy
you.
Donovan.
Billy
All right.
Donovan.
Hey, Bobcat.
Nike.
I've been holding on this question for a while, and since all you guys are there, I want you all to pay attention to this. So I am guessing that you guys have not seen any of the Academy Award Best Picture nominees.
Probably not.
Okay.
So I've seen some of them.
I'm going to give you the synopsis, and you tell me if you are interested in the movie. Okay?
Okay.
Number one is a movie called The Father. Anthony Hopkins, Olivia Colman. Hopkins plays a man who is suffering from dementia. Is that something you're in on or out of?
I'm out.
Yeah,
out.
I mean, it's interesting. I've seen the trailers and everything. It looks interesting, but it's kind of depressing.
Yep, that's why I'm out.
Yeah. Same. I saw the trailer, and I was just like, nope, not for me.
No,
Jorge?
I'm out. No.
Out. Yeah. It's one of the best movies of the year.
Dealing with the onsets of Alzheimer's. It's very depressing.
Yeah. Judas and the Black Messiah. I got a chance to watch this over the weekend. Story of Fred Hampton and the Black Panthers. Daniel Kaluuya is great. Lakeith Stanfield is great. What do you think, Ireland?
I love Daniel Kaluuya in Get Out. I would watch just for him. I'm in.
It's okay. about the Black Panthers?
Correct.
Oh, I love that stuff because I grew up in that era, so I'd love to see that.
Michael, you still haven't even seen One Night in Miami. Come on.
Yeah, I know, Lindsay. Every
Michael,
day I think
you
about
would
you.
Love
I,
One Night in
I know.
Miami.
Every day I'm sitting in front of my TV going, what am I going to watch? I always think of you. And I got
Lindsay, you know what the honest truth is? He can't figure out how to access Netflix.
Well, I'm still working.
Michael, have one of your kids come over and show you how to put it on.
That's the problem.
Probably do it. She can figure it
out. They're all out of
town. My God, Rocco could do it.
Yeah, you're probably right.
All right. Lindsay, in or out on Judas and the Black Messiah?
I saw it. It was a great movie.
And Jorge?
I'll check it out. Yeah.
Okay, good. Mank, story of Hollywood screenwriter Herman Mankiewicz and the making of Citizen Kane stars Gary Oldman, Amanda Seyfried. Ireland, in or out?
Love both those actors, and I like the subject matter. I'm in.
In. Okay, that's on Netflix. Michael?
The making of Citizen Kane?
Yes.
I didn't even like the first one, so why would I watch this one?
Yeah, okay, good. Michael's. I wondered who had the negative review on Citizen Kane. It's apparently Michael. Jorge?
It's a Fincher film. Yes, I'm in.
And Lindsay?
It's on my playlist.
Okay, there you go. Minari, story of a family of Korean immigrants learning their way through America. Steven Yeun is the star. Ireland?
Out.
Out. Michael?
Oh, me being an immigrant myself, I would love to see that.
There you go. Okay. Lindsay.
Wait a minute, Mace, is it in subtitles?
Partly in subtitles.
Yeah, I started watching it, and after like 10 minutes, I was like, this is too much work for
I've
me, and
accepted
it's kind of boring.
That I'm not smart enough to watch movies in subtitles.
Same.
You don't,
you know what?
You don't like to read
bummed.
Your movies?
I couldn't even watch Parasite, which was the Best Picture winner last year, because I couldn't get past the subtitles.
I think Minari might win the whole thing because of wave of Asian hate that we've got right now in this country.
That's true. That could help.
Nomadland, story of people who live as nomads, cars, trucks, vans, people living off the land, not homeless, but houseless. Frances McDormand stars. Ireland, in or out?
If it's Frances McDormand, I'm in.
Yeah, she's great. Michael?
Definitely in, since I lived among those people up in the Pacific Northwest, so I like that stuff.
Okay. Lindsay?
I already saw it. It was a great movie.
Jorge?
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Yeah, excellent movie. It is... on Hulu. All right, we've got two more. Promising Young Woman. Carey Mulligan plays a woman who tries to trap men into taking advantage of her. She pretends to get really drunk, lets a guy take her home, and then busts them when they start doing something inappropriate. Promising Young Woman. John.
So wait a minute. This has to do with attractive woman tricking guys into bed?
Yes.
I'm in.
Yeah, okay. This is one of the things I intend to download and watch. I like
Carey Mulligan, too. Mace, isn't Carey Mulligan married to the guy from the
Mumford? Yeah, she's married to Mumford of Mumford & Sons. Yeah. Lindsay, did you see it?
I saw it. It was a good one.
It is really creepy. It sticks with you. Jorge?
I'll check it out. Yeah.
Okay. And the last one, Sound of Metal, story of a heavy metal drummer who goes deaf. It stars Riz Ahmed. It's on Amazon Prime. Ireland, in or out?
Out.
It's really good. Michael?
Yeah, I'd be in. I like heavy metal music. I like groups, bands. So, yeah, I'll check that out.
Lindsay?
I watched it on Sunday, and while I thought it was good, I thought it was a little bit overhyped.
Mace, okay. You know why I'm out?
Why?
Because you and I have done so many shows with headphones and earpieces, and the volume is so loud for both of us now that I think that could happen to us.
Yeah,
so
I think you're right.
It hits too close to home.
Yeah, Mace, you're weird. Your headphones are set on 10, but you can talk to you in a normal voice and you hear us. So how does that work?
Michael, I can't explain to you what's going on. I'm losing my hearing slowly in my left
Michael,
ear.
Michael, I can explain
I only
it to
use
you.
My left ear.
If we turn the volume up really loud in the headphones, it gets us to talk softer. So it protects your voice.
But it hurts. If you put Mace's headphones on after he takes them off, and it actually hurts your ears. Is that loud?
Yeah, right, to each his own, Michael.
Jeez. Yeah, it's the only way we can keep doing the show.
Yeah, that's the only way I can continue this job. All right, I only got time for one more.
All right. Mace, Jared Goff, who was traded last month, was the number one pick in the 2016 draft. He made two Pro Bowls with the Rams and took him to one Super Bowl. Jared is 26 years old. Sam Darnold was the third pick in the 2018 draft. He was a much better college quarterback than Goff.
Yes.
And he was first-team All-Pac-12 in 2017. Sam is 23. Let's say you're a current NFL GM. I give you a choice between Jared Goff and Sam Darnold moving forward. You have to pick one. Which guy are you taking?
Wow, that is so tough. So much tougher than I would have anticipated.
No, it's not.
Michael, who are you taking?
I'm taking Darnold because he's younger and he can move more. He's better when the play breaks down. He can create stuff. Goff just sacks himself when the play breaks down.
I'm taking Darnold, Mace, for a different reason.
Okay.
I think we've seen Jared Goff's peak. I think we know what Jared Goff is. I think we haven't seen what Sam can do because he was with that Bobo, Adam Gase, and that dysfunctional Jets team. I think the ceiling is higher on Darnold. That's why I would take Sam. How about you?
I am also going with Sam. I think Sam has got a big NFL potential. I think it was Mel Kiper who said that if Sam Darnold was in this class of quarterbacks that's coming out right now, he would be second behind only Trevor Lawrence. I would go
and here's
Sam.
The weird, okay, guys, here's the weird thing. All three of us took Darnold. I never mentioned that Goff makes just millions more.
Yeah.
Like, Darnold is a way more affordable option.
Yeah. Sure.
And so we get the guy we want, and we pay way less money.
Yeah,
so that factors into it, too.
All right. Right now, jump on the phones, 877-710-ESPN. It is Masters Week, and
we're giving away
a $100 gift card.
We're going to do that next. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. I should tell you, you don't have to know golf to do well in this particular game.
Okay, got it.
All right. So that's
Gift certificate is courtesy of Roger Dunn Golf Shops. Swing by Roger Dunn Golf Shops and get custom fit today. Shop them online, worldwidegolfshots.com. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. Oh, it's a tradition unlike any other. I look forward to this every single year. The birds chirping down Huckleberry Lane, the azaleas
Magnolia Lane.
And the gladiolas in bloom.
Azaleas.
Watershed Cabin is there.
Butler Cabin.
Actually, win the green coat.
Green jacket.
And all the fans gather around.
Patrons.
Hey, Ireland, my little brother is going to be at the Masters on Thursday. Can you believe that?
How old is your little brother?
He just turned 30. Just turned 30.
All right, tell him we want a live report. Tell
him. Sure. He told me that you can't even get tickets. Like, I know, obviously, Masters tickets are normally really hard to get. We always try and get them every year in the raffle. But this year, he said you can't even find them on the secondary market. You cannot get tickets to the Masters this year. But his fiance's brother hooked him up, and he said they're like $3,000 tickets, and they got them for free. I'm super jealous.
Wow.
Yeah. Three. I told him, I was like, we might have to call you and do like some type of live hit from you.
Yeah, we want an update.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. By the way, I meant to read this and I forgot, so it's all on me. Sorry if I'm pissing anybody off. Fast Track, presented by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Got a car that's just sitting around, not being used? Bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota, the house of yes. All right. There you go. So we're going to give away this $100 gift card to Roger Dunn, but I wanted to pass along this story, which is happening right now. The state of California says that everything could be at 100% capacity by June the 15th. 100% capacity by June the 15th.
Sounds optimistic.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it obviously is optimistic. Again, this is,
but here's something I don't understand. Okay. So, and maybe I wasn't looking at the right numbers.
Yeah.
But the COVID death rate in Florida and in California is roughly the same. Okay,
yeah.
According to these numbers, I've looked at.
Well, we've got a shload more people than that.
No, but I mean, and that's accounted for in the numbers. It's a percentage number. And Florida, like Disney World in Florida has been open for months. Disneyland's not open at all. The kids in Florida have been going to school for months.
Yeah, yeah.
The kids in California aren't. So, I mean, I maybe it's not optimistic to think June 15th is not unrealistic. Maybe June 15th is possible.
Events at stadiums and other large venues will be permitted. This is from the state, from somebody named Human Services Secretary Mark Galley. He says venues will be open without any testing or vaccine requirement as of June the 15th.
Good.
I read that they're actually supposed, like their goal is to lift all of the COVID restrictions as of June 15th. They're going to retire the color-coded thing. The only thing they're going to keep, like everything
Mace,
can open at near full
means.
Capacity, but they'll just keep the mask mandate.
Mace.
Yeah.
Full season tickets at SoFi for you in the fall.
Yes! That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
And
hey.
For Michael and I don't know if Staples will just simply lift the ban, but that would mean bigger crowds for the NBA playoffs at Staples.
Oh, yeah. They're getting ready. I mean, I don't know where the All-Star game's going to be, but they're planning on it being a full house.
It's going to be in Denver.
Coors Field.
They announced it today.
So June the 15th, everything in California goes to 100% capacity, period. End stop. That's exciting.
Very encouraging.
Hope it's exciting.
Hope it works out. Hope it's right.
All right. So, John, we got a little golf giveaway here. Our friends at Roger Dunn Golf Shops. There's the music. Swing by Roger Dunn Golf Shops. Get custom fit today. Shop them online. Worldwide Golf Clubs. Check that. WorldwideGolfShops.com. So what do we got today, John?
Okay. Do you have the first caller?
Sir, I'm ascertaining
I do if you
that
don't.
Right now.
I do if you don't. It's Mike in Orange. Hey, okay. Mike, are you there?
Down here.
Hey,
okay,
Mike.
Here's the game.
How's it going?
Good.
Good, man.
Good. Mike, Lindsay mentioned her brother is going to the Masters, actually going to be in Augusta. All right? So, Mike, if you were at Augusta and you bought these four items, I want you to tell me the actual cost of the item, okay? Of the total of these four items. All right, so you're buying lunch at the Masters. You're going to buy a club sandwich with chips, an imported beer, and a Georgia peach ice cream sandwich for dessert. So sandwich, chips, beer, ice cream sandwich. What's the total, Mike?
I'm going to say $47.
$47. Okay.
Next up,
Stephen Belair.
Yeah, you got him.
Steve, you're on 710 ESPN. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, thank you.
You're in Belair. You must know your golf, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
All right,
yeah.
Steve. So here's your lunch order: club sandwich, chips, imported beer, and a Georgia peach ice cream sandwich. What is the total of that order?
$64.99.
Okay.
$64.99. All right.
Who's next, Mace?
Let's go to Alex and Torrance. Alex, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
How you guys doing?
Hi, that Alex.
Great.
All right, Alex. Club sandwich, chips, imported beer, and an ice cream sandwich. What's the total?
Okay, if you take the Staples Center minus Dodger Stadium, I'm going to go with $59.
Okay.
$59 on the dot. And the last one is Kevin in Camarillo. Kevin, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I'm going second shot. I'm going to go with $66.
$66.
Okay. You guys are all way too high.
So this was a little bit of a trick question because, Mace, you know that for whatever reason, the prices at the Masters
are extremely reasonable.
Cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the winner is Mike in Orange, who guessed $47. But the actual price, do you want to guess, Lindsay, what the actual price would be on that order?
My original guess was $7. I texted it to you guys.
Okay. Mace, what do you think?
My guess is $12.
Jorge?
$15.
Michael? Is Michael there?
Stepped out. I
okay.
Stepped out.
Mason almost nailed it on the number. The total is $11.
Wow. Yes.
$2.50 for the club sandwich, $1.50 for the chips, $5 for the imported beer, and $2 for the ice cream sandwich for a total of $11. Mike in Orange is our winner.
Excellent. Congratulations to Mike, and enjoy your Masters week. It's going to be magical around here. We'll have Masters updates for you. Brought to you by our golf correspondent, John Ireland, and Lindsay's brother.
We're gonna. Everybody's got to get their Masters picks in tomorrow if you want to make Mythical Money Masters picks in tomorrow.
Okay. All right, so John, 27 years ago today, something memorable happened. And it's hard to believe it's been 17 years.
You just said it's been 27 years. So is it 27 or is it 17?
It was 1994, Mace.
Okay, so... Yeah, so 27. It's 27. What did I say?
That way, in the same sentence, you go, something happened 27 years ago. It's hard to believe it's been 17 years. So it was 27 years ago. What happened?
Dumbass.
Yeah.
All right, so Jim Rome was hosting a talk show, and his guest was Jim Everett.
Oh, Rome is burning. Yeah,
and
sure.
Jim had a thing where he called Jim Everett Chrissy, as in Chrissy Everett, a whole bunch of times. And this is what confrontation went down on the set of Rome is Burning.
You may have even been Jim Everett back there, but somewhere along the way, Jim, you ceased being Jim and you became Chris.
Well, let me tell you a little secret. That, you know, we're sitting here right now, and if you guys want to take a station break, you can. But if you call me Chris Everett to my face one more time...
I already did it
better,
twice.
You call one more time, we better take a station break.
Well, it's a five-minute segment, our five-segment show. We got a long way to go.
Well, we do.
We got a long way to go.
We do.
I'll get a couple segments out
of
you before.
Well, it's good to be here with you, though.
Well, it's good
to
see you,
too. Because you've been talking like this behind my back for a long time.
But now I said it right here.
Right, exactly.
Well, we got no problems
then. Well, I think that you probably won't say it again.
I bet I do.
Okay.
Chris.
Jeez.
And he turns the table over on him.
Man. Incredibly awkward. By the way, you and I were on the air in San Diego when that happened.
Yes, we were.
And Howard Friedman, who was a pretty good PD, he put us together, made the biggest mistake that day I think I've ever made.
What was the mistake? I don't remember.
Said, don't talk about it.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah, he said, don't talk because Jim was on our air. Remember,
right.
Jim did that TV show. He's on air. He goes, no, don't talk about it. We should have played that every 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And what's
Can you believe it's been 27 years?
Yeah, and what's interesting about that is they both went on to very successful careers. Like, it didn't derail either one of them.
No, I mean, we thought, uh-oh, Jim Rome is done. That was, I think, our general take on it, and couldn't have been further from the truth. Jim Rome bounced back from that and developed a great career. His show, big national
success.
Yeah,
it was probably more successful than it's not even probably. He was more successful than any of us.
Yeah, I mean, he's done a lot of TV since, all that stuff. But that was a moment, all right. I think it's so much easier to talk behind someone's back. This is rule number one from Mason. Talk behind their back. That way they don't know it's you that said it.
Well, what's funny is, you know who else had the theory that
that's the golden rule
that Jim had was TJ Simers. He would say anything to anyone's face.
Correct.
Like he would just walk up to him and he would have walked up to Jim Everett and say, I've been calling you Chris for 3 years. When are you going to play a good game and not have me call you that? You know, and so sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And Jim Everett wasn't having it.
No, was not having it on that day. No question.
And by the way, Everett's a great guy.
And
it was probably the best Rams quarterback of his, I mean, has there been a better
Rams
quarterback?
I think piled up more yardage than any Los Angeles Rams quarterback.
Until Kurt Warner, he was like the best LA Rams quarterback we had.
Yeah. No, he was great. It took us a while to find one. We went through a lot of guys. From Joe Namath to Burt Jones to Dieter Brock to Vince Ferragamo to Pat Hayden. We had everybody.
Ron Jaworski, James Harris, John Hadle.
Unbelievable. And finally landed with Jim Everett, who had a really good career. All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Then we got Game of Games. We're packing everything in because we got Lakers basketball tonight. Lakers pregame, Spock and the Jock, starts at 3 o'clock today, and tip-off is at 4:30 in Florida, the Lakers versus the Toronto Raptors. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, here we go. It's Radio Tinder time. Lynch, what do you got for us?
All right, so two DoorDash drivers, Dashers, that's what the company calls them, they're trying to game the company's algorithm in order to raise their pay. The Dashers are trying to persuade their peers to turn down the lowest paying deliveries so the automated system that the company uses for matching jobs with drivers responds by raising pay rates. They're urging members to reject any delivery that doesn't pay at least $7, which is more than double of the current floor of $3.
Okay.
DoorDash says that this movement could lead to a rise in delivery costs and a delay in deliveries. Do you support the movement? If it meant DoorDash delivery drivers were paid better, swipe left or swipe right.
Well, it's a supply and demand issue. I think there's got to be a better way to get this done. I don't begrudge them, Mace, for trying to get more money. But by trying to game the algorithm, I think it would hurt the consumer. And for that reason, then everybody loses. So I think they got to do it a different way.
Yeah, I just think we've got this weird sort of secret economy going on where you've got Uber drivers, Lyft drivers, Postmate drivers, Grubhub drivers, DoorDash drivers, Instacart, weed drivers, all that stuff. There's like this secret economy that is working for all of us, and I think they are dramatically underpaid. Amazon underpaid. They're talking about guys have such a heavy delivery schedule that they can't take a break because they have to pee in a bottle because they don't have time to go to the bathroom. I mean, all this stuff. I think all these people are dramatically underpaid. They are frontline workers, and they've been here for a lot of us throughout this pandemic. So, yeah, I'm for them making more. I'm not sure about this gaming the algorithm system, but I'm for paying them more. I'm for tipping them a lot, too.
For shizzle dizzle. Well, I guess what happens when you – let's say a Dasher gets a delivery order for $25 or whatever, and it says they're going to make $4 off of it. If they decline it, then DoorDash automatically will offer it to another nearby driver for $5.
Oh, I see.
So that's why they're trying to game the system and say, like, they're trying to get DoorDash to agree to a minimum of $7. So I think if they just come to some kind of agreement where they raise the minimum, that would probably help everybody.
Seems like
including
$7 for a delivery is a very good value. I think DoorDash should pay it.
Yeah, totally. All right, next one. Aspiring social media influencer identical twins Jacob Christopher and Jared Christian Baez were arrested Sunday morning after being unable to pay their bar tab that they ran up at Dierks Bentley's Whiskey Row for their 24th birthday celebration. Their bar tab was a total of $17,874.74.
Wow.
And the Nashville police responded to the call from the venue when the pair was unable to pay the tab. They later said that their 24th birthday party was sponsored by Kingdom Capital Elites, which turned out to be a fake charity made up by one of the kids. Apparently, the entire ordeal was kind of orchestrated to try and gain more followers on social media. Have you ever done something really stupid for clout? Swipe left or swipe right.
Something really stupid for clout.
Well, couldn't you say any radio bit we've ever done is doing something stupid for clout?
I mean, searching for...
Something you came up with yourself, though.
Well, I mean, we came up with all of it ourselves. When we stayed on the air for 24 hours, well, actually, it was 27 hours straight. That was really stupid, but we just did that.
What about like among your friends and your peers? You know, people that
I told you guys
regularly.
The story of the time I was walking down Bourbon Street and somebody made a comment that it was the dirtiest street they'd ever seen. And can you imagine what's on the bottom of our shoes? And he offered $100 to anybody who'd lick their shoe.
Yeah, that's
and
I took my sickening.
I took my shoe off and licked it and stuck out my hand all within 5 seconds.
Yeah, that's sickening.
Yeah, that's pretty gross.
That's sickening. Yeah. But did that really buy you clout, or did that make you...
No, I was focused on the something stupid part of her question.
I mean, I think about awards all the time. Like, I've got my Bob Miller awards right here, and I think winning those gives me a certain amount of clout.
Do you sleep with them?
Do I sleep with them? I don't sleep with them. I should, though, Michael. I should take one to bed every night with me.
Yeah. Mace, have you ever posted something on social media because you wanted a bunch of people to like it and to get more followers?
I'm not sure.
Isn't that why you always post? I mean, that's...
Yeah, my podcast. Yeah, I promote my podcast on social media.
Okay, you guys don't get the question.
I am trying to get people to follow my podcast. So, yeah, I guess I do that. Again, I don't know if it's clout. The podcast, I guess, is kind of clout for me. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, you guys don't get it. I'm trying to say, like, if you're, like, staged something. Like, you know, you watch Mason, you watch that show about fake famous or the fake influencer thing where people go and they pretend that they're, you know, on a private jet, but really they're holding up a toilet bowl next to their head to make it look like they're on a jet.
What me and I saw the documentary, but what me and Ireland are saying is we've never done it.
I don't believe you.
Have you?
I'm not in like the public eye like you guys are.
But among your friends, though, did you do anything to impress your friends?
I mean, I've done all kinds of stupid things to impress my
friends. Tell us.
Yeah.
Lindsay. But tell us one that you could put on the air.
I'm trying to think.
It did, but maybe you drank too much shots. What?
So you were coming after us because we didn't have an answer. Now you don't have an answer. What are you picking on us for? We don't have an answer.
Did you dare to go out with a guy that you didn't like just because your friends dared you to?
No.
Nothing like
nothing
that.
Like that. Nothing like that. Nothing like that. Nothing
like
that.
You know, like a sorority type of prank or something.
Nope.
No sorority pranks. All right.
I'm really boring compared to you guys, though.
Yeah, you're normal. Yeah. You're a good girl.
I mean, I did some of that stuff. I mean, I don't know. When I got buried alive for 48 hours in Toledo, was that for clout? It was to raise money for the Toledo Public Schools.
Yeah, but that's different because you're raising money. So I feel like that's okay. That's a good thing.
How did you go to the bathroom, Mace?
Didn't.
What?
Didn't. Yeah,
2 days?
No. In order to do that,
did you wear a diaper?
No, you had to not eat or drink for 48 hours.
That's impossible.
Up to the stunt.
That's impossible.
It was not.
2 days without urinating?
I went 4 days without eating or drinking. My system was clear when I went into that coffin. It took unbelievable discipline. And then 48 hours is a long time.
Well, wait a minute. You laid on your back for 48 hours?
That is correct. I was in a coffin for 48 hours.
You're nuts.
Yeah, it was a good stunt. We raised $100,000 for the Toledo Public Schools.
How did you feel?
And they
when
were allowed to have sports programs.
What the first thing you did when you got out?
Went to the bathroom.
I think I took a pee, something like that. Probably something like that.
Yeah. Wow.
No, it was an incredible experience. I would never do it again, but it was an incredible experience. All right, Lindsay, what's your last one?
All right, a groom has revealed how his family, quote unquote, sabotaged his wedding. In an anonymous post on Reddit on the Am I the A-Hole forum, the man explained when he recently got married, he said, we wanted to have a child-free wedding. And so he and his wife-to-be let everybody know ahead of the big day. You know, there were a lot of arguments. And most people were okay with it, but except for his family. After fighting about it, they finally agreed not to bring the kids because I guess he has a lot of nieces and nephews.
Okay.
But then when the wedding day came, his two sisters showed up, both of them with their kids, and he asked them to leave. Is he the a-hole? Swipe left or swipe right?
It's a good one.
for asking the sisters to take their kids home.
Well, no, he asked them to leave because they brought their kids.
Okay.
His sisters, his own sisters, not a guest.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, that's being a jerk.
Maybe
they couldn't. Maybe they couldn't find a sitter.
But I wouldn't want kids at my wedding. They're just. It's just going to be mayhem, isn't it?
Like what cutoff age? You're talking about 10-year-olds?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want like toddlers, right?
Yeah.
If you're 12 or you're 15 or you're something like that, then yeah, you're wedding age. But you're not wedding age unless you're the flower, you know, the flower child, the flower girl. It's really not a place for little kids. So I do understand why this guy would send his sister home.
You said sisters, plural, right?
Yeah, his two sisters.
Yeah, that's being a jerk. Come on.
Farewell.
Yeah, I think he is the a-hole in that scenario.
Yeah, makes you cold.
I have a no kids at my parties rule.
Yeah, but they're your sister.
It's been broken. Broken several times. There are
all right. Who breaks that rule?
My friend Todd Hardy broke the rule. He brought
Now, did he get invited to the next party?
He did.
Okay.
Trudell broke the rule 1 year.
He did?
He brought the twins.
Yes, but what is Trudell supposed to do if he wants to come to the party and he wants to bring Annie? They have nobody to watch the twins.
Correct. That's why I allowed it under that situation.
But that's the case with everybody. That's the case with the story Lindsay told. Those sisters probably didn't have anybody to watch the kids.
Yeah.
You know about weddings months and months ahead of time. I think that's kind of silly.
How old were the kids, does it say?
I don't know. Just said young kids. But, you know, my brother's getting married Labor Day weekend, and he said they don't want any kids at their wedding except for his immediate family, so he's allowing my two nephews to be there because I guess his fiance has a niece or a nephew.
How old are your nephews?
One is 9 and one is 3.
Oh. Well, the 9-year-old will be fine.
Yeah, but that's it. No one else.
Problem. Yeah. Yeah, I understand the keeping the number of kids down thing. And you know, when I have the Labor Day bash, Michael Thompson is going to be here. Michael, when's your birthday?
January 30th.
We are going to call my Labor Day party, Michael Thompson's birthday party.
Michael, I will be there if you attend. If you don't, I will not attend.
Is Stu Lance going to be there?
Yeah, Stu's coming. I talk to Stu all the time about it.
Zero chance that's happening.
He's going to drive up from San Diego, huh?
Yeah, no, Stu, we're going to be waiting for Stu, and he's not going to show up, and we're going to say, Stu Lance, yet to scratch.
Have you invited Jim Hill yet?
No, but Jim Hill will be invited.
He might
absolutely
come. Jim might come.
Oh, he'll be there.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to want the first question.
Michael, if Jim comes, do you think he'll wear a suit?
Of course.
Of course he will.
But he might loosen a tie, just a scotch.
Just a bit. Yeah. All right, coming up next for you is Game of Games. Don't forget, at 3 o'clock today, we got Lakers pregame, Spock and the Jock. Alan Slee will step in here with Michael to get you ready for Lakers basketball. They are in Florida, scheduled to take on Toronto tonight. 4:30 is the tip-off. Mason and Ireland, 7:10 ESPN. Game of Games. It is sponsored by Power Pro Plumbing and Heating. Powerful, professional, affordable. It's who they are. It's in their name. They are our plumber. They want to be yours, too. Call 1-800-584-4116 or visit PowerProPlumbing.com. Score for the month of April, Ireland 2, Lindsay 2, everybody else yet to scratch, including Michael Thompson. The game today is Mason and Ireland Jeopardy. Ireland can play, Lindsay can play, Michael
Thompson.
Now,
we should say tomorrow you and I are going to play each other in Jeopardy.
Right, we're going to play real Jeopardy tomorrow at 1:30 to crown the smartest person on the show. And I intend to win. This
Good
is just a
that.
Little silly Jeopardy.
Okay.
With relatively easy questions. So your name is your buzzer. Michael, you ready? You're live over there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. He was the all-time MLB home run leader before Hank Aaron.
Michael. Who is Babe Ruth?
Correct. Who is Babe Ruth? Michael's on the board. Number two, when you're really stuck between two bad choices.
John? You're in. What is in between a rock and a hard place?
That is absolutely correct. Ireland gets that. Yeah. It's 1-1. Jorge, Lindsay, yet to scratch. It's the name of my beagle.
John. Who is Sophie?
Sophie, absolutely right. Yeah, absolutely right. You got it right. Okay, it's Ireland 2. Michael Thompson 1. Lindsay, Jorge, not on the board yet. He won an Oscar for the movie Syriana. And started the tequila. John,
who is George Clooney?
Oh, wow. Do you even know the movie Syriana?
Never seen it. I just knew he was in it.
George who?
Clooney.
George Clooney.
Oh.
He won an Oscar for the movie Syriana and started the tequila company. Casamigos was the rest of the clue. Jeez. Ireland 3, Michael Thompson 1, Lindsay Jorge not on the board. This one could go down easy. It's the bill with Washington's face.
Michael.
Michael.
What is the $1 bill?
What is dollar? Exactly right. It's the bill with Washington's face, or the nickname for Damian Lillard, dollar. All right, it's
wait,
Ireland.
Dame dollar.
Dame dollar.
Michael, you got the point. Why are you arguing against me?
Yeah, why are you
arguing point?
Question.
George
yeah.
was laughing like that wasn't the case.
Yeah. I think you should take the point away from Michael because he's questioning his own win.
No, I'm telling George. That's why he got the nickname.
Technical foul for calling
right.
and one.
Whining foul.
Whining. All right, it's Ireland 3, Michael Thompson 2, Lindsay Jorge not on the board. Its most common form is called equilateral. And it's the name of Phil Jackson's offense.
John. Michael.
Lindsay.
John.
No, I got
what
it.
What is the triangle?
The triangle is absolutely correct. The equilateral triangle is the one where the sides have all the same length. So this one, just for fun, Ireland is one.
Again?
It is Luke Skywalker's home planet.
John.
John?
What is Tatooine?
How did Ireland get Tatooine?
I've seen the first six Star Wars movies. I keep trying to tell you people that.
Lindsay, how did you not? How did you let Ireland
get
Tatooine?
He already buzzed in by the time, because I wanted to wait for you to finish it because I didn't know what you were going to ask. By the time John got
early bird gets the word.
And she says she's got a delay, right, Lindsay?
And you've got a delay.
I do have a delay.
Yeah.
I do have a delay.
I can't wait till we don't have this delay thing anymore.
Me too.
You know, Ireland, it's not fair. Ireland doesn't sleep. That's why he knows all this stuff.
This is true. I slept. By the way, you guys, I had my first vaccine shot yesterday.
Yeah.
Everybody told
congratulations.
Me it was no big deal. It kind of knocked me for a loop.
What?
Did it? The first
yeah,
one?
I felt lousy last night. I canceled golf today. I felt lousy all day today. I'm just starting to get, like, feel better, in the last couple hours.
Is your arm sore?
Yeah, just a little, but that I mean, I felt, Mace, you never felt, like, groggy?
No, I never did. Even after the second one, I didn't have symptoms.
Did you have the Moderna or the Pfizer?
The Moderna.
I had the Pfizer.
I got the Pfizer shot. I felt weird, but I wouldn't say I felt groggy. I couldn't.
Did you feel weird, like, right away? I felt a little weird right away, and then I thought, oh, it'll go away. And I've just kind of been, since.
I felt weird when they made me sit in a little 15-minute waiting area. Yeah. I felt weird in that time frame. Just weird. I wasn't tired. I can't explain it. I just felt a little
I was
off.
Reading up on it today. They say it's not unusual because what the first shot does is it gets your immune system ready for the second shot. So basically, it's not unusual to feel muscle aches or feel a little bit of – I don't think I've ever had a fever, but I just kind of feel like blah.
Right.
Maybe it's on your mind.
It could be. I was thinking about that. Like, maybe I wonder.
Talked yourself into it.
No, but I was expecting, because I talked to a lot of people, I was expecting no issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't have any issues at all.
Michael, did you do Pfizer or Moderna?
Moderna.
Okay. Have you had both, Michael?
No, April 26 is my next one.
April 26, yeah. I mean, we're all getting there. That's why, you know, the report today is from the state that they will allow most businesses to reopen at 100% capacity by June the 15th, and if you're a sports fan, that means we could see full stadiums and arenas.
Although, hold on, Mace. It doesn't mean, because the state greenlights it, doesn't necessarily mean that Staples Center and SoFi Stadium, we hope that they will open to full capacity.
Oh, they will. As soon as the state greenlights it.
It's up to them,
I bet
right?
you they will.
Right. But, I mean, if they're getting a green light from the state, what's the holdup?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I'll tell you this. For example, the Rangers are allowing full fans into the stadium,
yes.
And they've been heavily criticized, including by Joe Biden, for doing that. The point is, just because the restrictions have been laxed by the state doesn't mean you have to do it.
Yeah, now, but between now and June 15th, that's a world of difference, right?
Yeah.
That's a lot of difference. I mean, everybody I know is either in line for the shot or has gotten one of the shots.
Yeah, now, somebody asked me, what would happen if you took the first shot and you didn't take the second shot? And I read up on that today, and that's stupid because it doesn't really – you're just taking away percentages of protection.
Correct.
You know, if they're going to give you the second shot for free, just suck it up and get it. because it makes you less protected if you ignore it.
Yeah. And the last one is the one where the second one is the one where some people have symptoms. I didn't have any. Juan had symptoms. Not stepdad Leo had symptoms.
Do you think smoking that joint right after you helped you with your
By the way, Mace, systems? did you do that?
Did I what?
Did get you smoke. Get high after your vaccine shot, and do you think it helped?
I did, and I think it made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
That's interesting.
Yeah. No, it's I strong recommend.
I had a cigar after mine, so I guess that helped.
Did you have a cigar?
Yeah.
You and Worthy. Worthy says he limits himself to one a day.
No, I just like do like one every 3 weeks.
Is that all? One every 3 weeks?
Yeah, one every 3 weeks when I go on my e-bike ride.
And do you have what do you mean an e-bike ride?
My e-ride, my e-bike. You know,
Mace, you don't have an e-bike?
Everybody's no, what's an e-bike?
We got an e-bike. It's an electric bike, so you can, like, Lisa rides it all the way to the beach.
You can either.
And then when she goes down there and plays volleyball or plays tennis and she's too tired to do the hills on the way
e-bike
back.
An e-bike is a bicycle.
She turns on the electric switch and it's like a moped.
You can either pedal it if you want, man or woman power, or you can get pedal assist and just push a button and it goes.
An e-bike.
It's fun.
Well, they're the biggest things going, man. Everybody in Manhattan Beach has an e-bike.
Yeah, you never see anybody on a regular bike anymore.
What happened to birds? Bird scooters? They kind of disappeared.
Most cities banned them because people were just leaving them on the side of the road and they were a big nuisance. They were a public nuisance.
Yeah, I haven't seen one in a while.
Well, Mace,
all over in Marina
Venice
Del Rey.
Venice had a huge problem with them, so I think Venice just basically said, no more bird scooters. They're just a.
They're all around here in LA Live. But
Jorge says they're
in.
Back at LA Live.
Yeah, they're all around here.
Yeah, because people were just taking them and like dumping them on the side of the road.
Yeah, you see them. They're on the sidewalks here, too.
Well, I'm going to have to get one of these e-bikes, although it does seem to defeat the purpose of riding a bike, right?
Well, you can still ride it as a regular bike.
Yeah, if you want.
It just gives you an option.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got one of them. Do you know what an assault bike is?
No, what's that?
The one where there's the big wheel and the fan, and it blows air at you, and your arms are going back and forth on the bike. Do you know what I'm talking about now?
No.
A street bike?
No, an assault bike. It stays in one place.
Oh, like a stationary bike.
Yeah. If you Google assault bike, that's what I use every day.
You don't want to be out amongst the people?
Yeah, Mace, get out.
Yeah, no, I am getting out.
That's my favorite
part
about golfing is that I'm outdoors among the animals and the people.
That's right, Mace.
Yeah, no, it makes a big difference. That's where I'm going to be. I still need, by the way, a golf expert on the west side to teach me golf.
So here's the bet between Mason and I, okay? My handicap is a 10, all right? So I'm giving Mason has never played 18 holes in his life.
Right.
I'm giving him 53 strokes.
How tough's the course?
Hard.
Tough. Oh, yeah, that's safe.
Who wins?
Yeah, you're going to win. Mace won't break
even
one.
Even if I do lessons and stuff?
Even if you do lessons, that ain't going to help you. It takes.
Wait a minute. Lessons have to help.
No, because golf
It
takes a long time to even get bad at it. That's how tough that sport is.
Well, we've got, what, 3 months?
3 months? Yeah, yeah. You won't break 130.
I need a really good golf teacher on the west side.
If I have a good day, well, let's say I have a bad day and I shoot 90. That would mean Mace has to shoot 143. You think he could do it?
First time out, 18 holes on a tough course? No.
You don't think he could shoot 143?
No. You know how many times he's going to shank off the tee, and he's going to be reaching the green in seven?
Think about it, Mike. If he gets seven on every hole,
okay,
so then he would shoot 126.
That's
he would
true.
Win easily.
So he's got to quadruple every hole.
Yeah. He's not going to do that.
He's going to eight on every hole?
He's not getting an eight on a 100-yard par three.
Oh, yeah. I can see him doing that.
No. No, I'm serious about this. I'm going to win this one. But I do need a golf expert on the west side. VeniceMace@gmail.com. Somebody good. Can you recommend anybody good on the west side? I'd love to go down to Yorba Linda in Black Gold and do it with Joe Riley, but it's too far from me.
When you tee off, how far do you hit the ball, Mace, on a good shot?
It's DeChambeau-esque.
Michael, I would say when he hit his good ones, he hit about 150 yards.
150 off the tee?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to quadruple every hole.
Michael, I will prove you wrong.
I hope you do.
You wrong.
I'm going to bet $1.
By the way, Lakers win tonight. You doubting Thomas's?
Yep.
Lakers
oh, yeah.
are going to win.
Yeah.
Tomorrow at 1:30, Jeopardy. Who is the smartest person on the show?
And
me versus Ireland. That's at 1:30 tomorrow. Coming up next for you, Spock and the Jock. It is Lakers pregame. Lakers versus Raptors, 7:10 ESPN.